and considers it not only a demonstrable workplace hazard, but too an indefensible tax deduction. Welcome to the program, Sean.
Good morning, Chris.
Well, now, Sean, before getting to Honest Reporting Canada's dubious tax claims of being both honest reporters and reporting in the interests of Canada, I'd like to examine the question of worker safety. How does what Honest Reporting Canada do affect the safety of the journalists it reports on?
Yeah, so journalists are our workers, and they're entitled to the same protections from harassment, in this case, online harassment, as other workers. And if I could just digress a little bit to set this up, you know, before COVID, we saw a rising hostility towards journalists, particular women journalists. And then during COVID, kind of that anti-vax movement, it attacked public health officials and increasingly journalists. And then, you know, that really escalated into the occupation of Ottawa on the trucker convoy. And then we just saw like death threats to journalists. And I just want to say, like, that's just not normal. It's not acceptable. And some of the behavior is outright criminal. So a colleague and I, Heather Pearson, who used to be a editor at the Star Phoenix and Regina Leader Post in Saskatchewan, wrote a CBC.ca national opinion on the need to address the harassment of journalists. And, you know, in the Canada Labor Code, for example, it's really clear that, you know, harassment and violence is any action or conduct or comment, including of a sexual nature, that can reasonably be expected to cause offense, humiliation, or other physical or psychological injury to employee. And what we see with honest reporting is, although they claim in their CRA documents for their charitable status, they can't claim that they serve to educate newsrooms about anti-Semitism. They claim that they are there to correct the record. What we see in practice is one of their primary activities is these action alerts that they put on their website. And these action alerts are use highly torqued, emotional, inflammatory language. And they target journalists, columnists, interviewees, especially Palestinian voices on any Canadian media outlet. So it could be like a university newspaper, community newspaper, right up to, you know, the Globe and Mail, CBC. So you get this description over the top call out of a piece, and they're issuing like multiple action alerts every day. And then alongside it, they have a pre-written email and an inflammatory subject line usually, and that quote unquote subscribers to honest reporting, of which they claim there are 70,000 now, can send to the show producer or editor of a show, and people can put whatever they want in those things. And they can also, because these action alerts have a prominent picture of the journalist, guests, or columnist, subscribers can also pick up on that and contact them directly if the email's in the public domain, or they can figure out this. So basically, to wrap up kind of the first point I would make is, you know, what honest reporting is doing is they're fomenting or inciting politically motivated harassment and doxing campaigns against journalists and others. And, you know, this is not good faith media critique. It's something else. And I think their game is really to intimidate and ultimately silence people when they offer any critique of Israel. The bar is fairly low to get an action alert, I would say, as well.
Well, you write in your letter to the Canada Tax Authority that HRC, quote, HRC has every right to criticize news media coverage of Israel that it considers biased. However, it must do so within the law and because it is a registered charity in compliance with CRA policy. Now, when you talk about the doxing, in your letter too, you quote Pierre-Éric Champagne. He's the head of the Federation of Professional Journalists in Quebec. And he says, when you put a photo of a journalist, you send out their email address, and then you invite people to harass them. This action alert, it makes me wonder, just what actions are they alerting people to? In the very name, it says action, you in the sense that you take action. Here's your information. Here's what this person looks like. Here's where they do their business. Here's their address, their email address. Do they give out their home addresses as well?
Yeah, I don't think they give out the action alerts that I reviewed from the summer of 2025. They're not giving out their email addresses, but it's not hard to kind of figure that out. I've never seen them give out an address, but they use the photos. Sometimes they'll use photos that aren't available online, so
Yes.
that somebody's taken a photo. They have been known to doctor the photos to make them sexualized or just mock somebody. So yeah, no, the other piece of this. So in August, I looked at most of the month's action alerts, and I believe there were 73 of them, and only three resulted in corrections. Furthermore, the CBC ombudsperson in early August issued a report response to Honest Reporting's appeal of complaints, and they basically dismissed their complaints. And the ombudsperson said, you know, this you use highly emotional language and this sort of thing. So, you know, I think their game is not about getting corrections very clearly. It's really about rattling journalists, and they play right up to the line, and they're really trying to kind of prime others to go out and do this work. And you know, when you go back to the CRA's language for qualifying as a charity, they're very clear that charitable activities should not have a negative effect. Now, if they do have a negative effect, there needs to be substantial net benefit, and the charity needs to take steps to mitigate harm. And I don't see any evidence that Honest Reporting is interested in mitigating harm. Like this to me is very clear. And I guess one other thing I would add, Chris, is that a thought exercise for listeners is, can you imagine applying to the CRA to establish a registered charity? And can you imagine describing the action alerts accurately and fairly? And I don't think that the CRA would actually approve an application that accurately and fairly described what Honest Reporting does. I mean, it's way across the line. There's not a net benefit to society in Canada, and they've got another game, which is, you know, ultimately, their agenda very clear. They don't hide this, that, you know, they're unconditionally pro-Israel. You know, they deny famine, they deny genocide, they deny the voices of Palestinian children. They disputed a CBC Kids News 5-minute segment that was just the voices of Palestinian children who said they were hungry. I mean, this is atrocious behavior, and it really diminishes the purpose of charitable status in Canada. And I do hope that the CRA will prioritize honest reporting and remove it. And you know what? Honest Reporting can continue on as a non-charity. And you know, as long as they are not defaming people, they should be able to go on. But you know, if they cross that line, then they may end up with a lawsuit against them. And I don't know what kind of challenges they've faced in the past or present, but I wouldn't be surprised if there have been some.
Well, there should be some kind of organization where people get together and they can catalog and compare complaints, because I'm sure, as you say, that you're not the first one to complain about this. Before I don't want to let it drop, though. The first thing is that when you said that only a very small percentage of these action alerts resulted in corrections, that is corrections by media interest, whether it's a newspaper or TV,
That's correct.
radio, or whatever, where they come and they say, "Oh yes, Honest Reporting, we're sorry. We meant to say this when we said that, or maybe this wasn't right, and this is the correct." So there's very little corrections. I mean, my math skills maybe 3.5% or under 4% correction rate. The vast majority of their efforts, as you mentioned, are single issue. They're Israel interests in this case, and lately they're focused on the Gaza Holocaust for obvious reasons. I was really surprised, though, to find, Sean, that the CRA has a level of acceptable risks of exposing people to harm. So the activity of your charity could be harming people, but you know, we want you to keep it acceptable, like at an acceptable level. What's an acceptable level? But you also, in your article, you quote the labor code in saying in the ways that you think that what they at Honest Report Reporting are doing is a threat to workers. The one area, though, that in reading the code that I thought might even more aptly apply is in the danger section of the code. This is the Canadian law. And if you'll allow me, it says that the danger, in the danger section, danger means any hazard, condition, or activity that could reasonably be expected to be an imminent or serious threat to life or health of a person exposed to it. This is when they say workers are being put in danger. Now, when you describe these guys getting photographs that aren't available online in some cases, and I noticed that in your interview with Samira Hamiyadin, that she was targeted by this same thing, and they were using images of her like riding her bicycle. So it suggests that there's somebody with a camera dogging people around and taking pictures, perhaps of whatever quality, of these people without their permission, and publishing them without their permission as well. But it also sends a message that we're watching you. It's creepy and it's threatening.
Yeah, I mean, Samir has described it as, you know, you feel like you're being hunted. And if I could just read some other quotes from the letter, you know, from journalists here. So Aman Qasim, a former journalist with CTV, wrote that the Honest Reporting campaign led to, quote, weeks of relentless harassment flooding my inboxes, demanding that I be fired, claiming that, quote, people like me should not exist, end quote. Some said they knew where I lived. Another journalist that spoke to several journalists anonymously had quotes from journalists saying they described Honest Reporting as carrying out defamatory vendettas, quote, falsely accusing someone of anti-Semitism publicly and in packs. Another noted that Honest Reporting, quote, takes the smallest thing, twists it, and throws fire at it, because now everything is anti-Semitic for them. And we even have, you know, university student newspapers that are saying that, you know, there's smear campaigns and it's psychological harassment. And I guess one thing I would add, Chris, is the piece to this is, who is responsible for preventing this? Obviously, we've talked about the CRA, but as an employer, as a media organization employer, you have a responsibility to take steps to prevent harassment of your journalists. And so that's something I think that's interesting to explore. And also, some journalists in Canada are unionized. And so there is a grievance process that can be used if workers are harmed through their work. And so I've wondered about that as well. Are journalists making complaints to their unions, and are these manifesting grievances and that sort of thing? Because I think, you know, one piece of this that needs to be acknowledged is that journalists that I've spoken with, in just my general sense, they don't like to talk about this because they don't want to report on themselves. And they're kind of defenseless when it comes to this. And so it's kind of a catch-22, I think, for them. And it's just this sort of norm that's developed, you know, especially since the trucker convoy, around the normalization that this is part of the job. It is not part of the job. And it's going to take, you know, there's already been several courageous journalists that have spoken out about this issue. But I think others to really push the envelope on it and have employers take action. Again, I don't think Honest Reporting, you know, just look, spend 15 minutes on their website, is like interested in good faith critique and disagreement of the news media. That's not their game. It's pretty clear.
Well, one of the first tenets that you learn in journalism school is don't make yourself the story. And that, Hunter S. Thompson aside, has been the ruling order of the day ever since. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Dr. Sean Tucker. He is an associate professor of human resource management in the Center for Management Development, Faculty of Business Administration at the University of Regina. His primary area of research is occupational health and safety. And we're talking in and around the way Honest Reporting Canada reports on Canadian journalists and whether that is or isn't a threat to their health and safety. I wonder, Sean, if it was any other job, if it was any other industry, like somebody that works at a cafe or somebody that delivers something or any kind of other worker, if they were subject to this kind of behavior by Honest Reporting Canada or anybody else, where they come and they take your picture and they put out your email online and they say terrible things about you, true or untrue or half true, I wonder if those would be activities that would draw the interest of police or the Labor Council or anybody else.
I think it's a really good question. And I have a couple thoughts on it. One is I do think there would be a stronger reaction generally. However, you know, if you're working in a public facing role in retail, in libraries now, I mean, the level of harassment and in cases violence that frontline workers are putting up with now, throw in another sector, healthcare. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this has become normalized. It's not right. And we see nurses, teachers, people working at grocery stores pushing back individually and collectively on it. So I guess those are two sort of thoughts I would have on that. Yes, it's over the top, but we've unfortunately got a wider systemic issue. But I think, we have some, we've got to tackle this issue across different workplaces that are affecting workers.
Well, the way that the media is different than these other jobs is that they are meant to do exactly the things that Honest Reporting says that they are trying to do is to make sure that the messages getting out serve the public interest, they tell the truth, and they present a fair picture for people to for the viewers and readers and listeners to formulate their political opinions and then, you know, try to force action and alert their members in the House and so forth of, you know, how they feel and what they think is going on. So you quote in that regard, Brent Jolly, he's the Canadian Association of Journalists president. He describes these activities as tactics of bullying and intimidation, disgusting, and in many cases defamatory, and they represent, quote, serious threats. We've seen at these demonstrations for the last 2 years, almost 2 years now, in Victoria and in other places across Canada and around the world, acts of violence committed against peaceful demonstrators. One can only imagine that it's not a far leap to think that a journalist, somebody that has the amplification of a media outlet, would be a prime target of these same sort of violent actors that have driven cars, for example, in Victoria, drove a car towards a marshal at one of the demonstrations. But there's been other demonstrations or other acts of violence as well. So, I mean, this isn't idle. This isn't idle worry by any means.
No, as an aside, it's somebody who's gone out and marched on Saturdays, starting at the BC Ledge a few times. You know, we had a despicable, hateful act of anti-Semitic graffiti at a synagogue in Victoria recently. And I don't know if police have found who did that, and I hope they do. But I was quite worried marching after that. I noticed the police presence was increased significantly after that, of this peaceful protest being targeted. And I'm quite worried about that. The rhetoric that Honest Reporting and others are using now, that, and we see it now with the response to the calls for boycotting the Davis Cup tournament that's coming up in Halifax this week, we see the rhetoric really ratcheting up around that, everybody who opposes Israel coming to play tennis in Canada, that somehow we're extremists. It's very dangerous. I worry about the people participating in peaceful protest on streets of Canadian cities. And we've got children, families participating in marching in solidarity with Palestine. And honest reporting is not helping the situation.
What comes to my mind is Barry Weiss, the American journalist, or she's called that, of the Free Press Organization, recently bought out, but she put out an action alert herself against Rifat Alarir, the Palestinian poet and professor of English in Gaza. And Rifat Alarir was murdered by the Israeli military the next day. These kinds of action alerts have real world results. And when we see Canadians going to fight for the IDF and to engage in war crimes of all manner that we know and don't know, and then coming home as one can only imagine damaged human beings psychically, it's not a far stretch to think that they might commit some kind of a murderous act against some targeted journalist. Or poet or actor or some other prominent public figure.
I think that, just if I can maybe, this, I have a reflection to share and on kind of the state of legacy media in Canada in having the public discourse around Palestine, Israel. I've made complaints to the CBC ombudsperson multiple times about the coverage. It feels like CBC News, something's going on in there, and it's well documented by the breach and others that, we're Canadians are not well served. And it's particularly around Israel that, certain discussions are off limits. And I listen to lots of mainstream programs, CBC, The House, and that, and they just avoid the genocide. Sometimes they're hostile towards the topic. And I feel like, if I could offer a critique of the media, I mean, not only are we're not picking up certain parts of the story, the telling is obvious, the reporting falls short all too often. And I feel like an institution like the CBC News, they want to put a lid on this sort of thing. And I don't think that has served the public very well. I don't think the public is, on a show like Cross Country Checkup, for example, is used to hearing from people with different views, and there are consequences to that we've this, and it's the same at universities. Many of them is put a lid on it, and that's a very unhealthy approach to this, and we're paying the consequences of it now because people are not they this idea that people are extremists or terrorist glorifiers, as Honest Reporting likes to say. That's like real division, and that feeds things, and you get someone who is, that's kind of all they're being fed, and that's how they come to view a peaceful protest on a Saturday afternoon. It concerns me greatly.
Well, it concerns me too that Barry Weiss of the former Free Press is now going to be in a major position in the newly formed CBS News Department, one of the main legacy outlets in the United States and one of the more credible of the bunch. In the last minute we have, Sean, now on your Twitter page, X Twitter, you put up a story about the Refugee Health Conference upcoming. And attempts in this country to quash that, to cancel it. Cancel culture is alive and well because it's featuring people such as Francesca Albanese and Yiping Yi, who's been on this program, Gabor Maté, Tarek Loubani, who's been on this program too, all medical people that have been in Gaza and bear witness to firsthand, in many cases, to what's going on there. Do you have any final thoughts on this cancel culture in the medical field in this country as we exit?
Yeah, well, I'll try to be brief here. Just jump in and cut me off here. I have many thoughts on this, Chris. Having lost my position in the Faculty of Medicine at UBC for speaking out about Palestine. I used to think working in a business school and taking my doctorate at the Queen's School of Business that the business schools were the most conservative kind of entity on university campuses. It's not true. It's the medical schools, and it's something that will have to be looked at, and why students, faculty, visiting speakers have been faced such repression from medical school leadership. This needs to be looked into. It goes against the mission of a university, and like open, egregious violations of academic freedom and freedom of expression. And I hope there's going to be a deep dive into this and figure out what happened and prevent it from happening again. But it's very troubling that this is continuing on in September of 2025, that this is still happening, this repression. I just shake my head. Where is the university leadership in preserving core tenets of the academy? They're too afraid. They're afraid of being criticized, and shame on them. And I don't know if they'll ever recover from this, but this is a shameful chapter in the history of the academy, of course, in the US, but in Canada as well. In Canada, fortunately, post-secondary institutions kind of got off the hook easy on this stuff, but this type of repression occurs on a number of campuses in Canada.
Well, yeah, and what we've seen through the agency of what's happening in Gaza, we've seen the exposure of our institution and the erosion of them, like the parliament and the legal profession and the medicine, engineering, all charities, all of these things, the church as well, and all of these things that are being destroyed physically in Gaza and Palestine right now, these pillars of a working society eroding to a quivering, shaking precariousness, ready to fall. That's really frightening. And if we keep on going in this direction, who knows that we might, this dark age may become a lot darker.
Well, I take hope in the international solidarity movement for Palestine. This movement is strong. It's growing. We have, son and daughter who are teenagers. I see them. They understand who the oppressed are, who the oppressor is. I take hope in the younger generation. This is a very strong movement, and ultimately, the movement I think will prevail. It's going to take time, but there's parallels, obviously, people drawing them with apartheid South Africa, and I don't know where we're at 1983, 84, 85. I'm not sure where we're at in that area, but the balance is tipping now. It's very clearly tipping, and it's organizations like Honest Reporting and others are absolutely fearful of this, and they're desperate now. And I take a great deal of hope, although it's very hard to watch the day-to-day reality, the pictures from Gaza and the voices from Gaza. It's very hard, but we need to keep moving forward. This is the right thing to do. This is the moral issue of our time.
Yeah, without a doubt, and beware people who call themselves honest. There's a reason that they have to call themselves honest. Sean
Yes.
Tucker, thanks a lot for coming on, Sean, and sharing your insight with us. Can you recommend how people can find you and find your work, etc.?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter there, Blue Sky as well. You mentioned Samira Moedin, David Mastericci with the Maple, I think, is somebody else people should really follow. And Arafa Rana, who recently did a piece on Honest Reporting, I would also encourage people to look at her work and that thing. There's lots of information out there on Honest Reporting.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming on again. And I want to thank too Deidre Noonan, a doctor who's been there firsthand in the first half. And that's all I got for this week. Until the next time. Thanks again, Sean.
You're welcome. Take care.
Moscow, Tokyo, New York, Guerrilla Radio is everywhere at guerrilla-radio.com. Everywhere, all the time.
Chicago, Jakarta, Helsinki, Cape Town, Sao Paulo, Manchester, Bangalore, and somewhere in Russia, I can't actually remember the
You're listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby. CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours. Uniquely curated programming by our hosts maintains an independent voice among the masses. You keep CJSF independent.